The following podcast is brought to you by The Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
So I was just talking about how wonderfully prepared we are here today. I hope you all are patient with us as we slowly begin to integrate in person and online. It is a joy that we can do both. It certainly is a lot of mishigas here around trying to keep it together and maintain a kind of quality of zazen, quality of mind that we come to appreciate in the midst of learning something completely new. Today, you know, is our regular Sunday Dharma Talk day. And here we have three, six, or seven of us here. And I can't see here how many are online, but many more. And that's lovely, lovely to see. But, you know, I just think we should be really thankful for what we have been able to utilize over the last 2 years. We have been able to continue to practice together, and we have broadened, and it's so wonderful that I've come to know some of you, in Europe, some of you in Canada, across the country, in Bolivia. It's marvelous, and just encourage you to bear with us as we figure out how to reintegrate some in-person meetings with this longer-term kind of interconnection that we're always talking about abstractly, but actually now it's really happening. It's not an abstraction at all. So thank you for being with us this morning. I see someone coming towards me. Okay. And in my notes, I had welcome to this world is constantly changing. So that's really what I wanted to start out with today. Because, you know, we have these fixed ideas about ourselves, who we are, and what the world is like. And then something like this plague, I like to call it rather than pandemic, has forced all of us to really look at the constantly changing aspects of ourselves and how our own mind and how we meet the change in the world and how we meet the change in ourselves really organizes our reality and how we are with others. So we're here in a changed world. How do we respond with compassion, with wisdom? I encourage you to listen to Kogen's talk yesterday. He spoke very directly to the issues that we have in the world now and how we can enter into them with a compassionate heart, with an open and wise heart. A Sangha member on a listserv asked that question, how can we meet the others? And I think Kogen responded beautifully to that. For me, I want to just shift the view a little bit to how can we be intimate with ourselves? Because for me, that's where it begins. How can we recognize our own self nature and through that our relationship to the world around us, our understanding of our own role at this time? And of course, we need to recognize our responsibilities to our world. And I believe that the work begins with our own consciousness, with our own being. And of course, we can never be sure how we fit into the world. how we can be intimate with our own desires and relationships. Sometimes we're not even sure who we are. I'm reminded of that ancient Chinese philosopher and poet, Zhuangzi, his wonderful parable about the butterfly. Here is Watson's translation. Once Zhuangzi dreamed he was a butterfly. A butterfly flitting and fluttering about, happy with himself and doing as he pleased. He didn't know that he was Zhuangzi. Suddenly, Zhuangzi woke up, and there he was, solid and unmistakably Zhuangzi. But he didn't know if he was Zhuangzi who had dreamt he was a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming he was Zhuangzi. Between Zhuangzi and the butterfly, there must be some distinction. This is called the transformation of things. I'm sure you're all familiar with this this ancient wise story. Am I the butterfly dreaming I am me, or am I me dreaming I'm a butterfly? What is that transformation of things that this parable points to? Shifting our awareness from the dream of ourselves to who we really are. You know, when I think of myself, I dreamed a life of Zen, of creating a Zen center in the midst of these crazy times. And the life I live may not be what you think is Zen, but rather I'm experiencing it as one foot in front of the other, with enormous support from so many who are willing to work for the Dharma. But when I think of this, I think, well, if the shoe fits, I wear it. Holes and scuff marks as they may be. It's as if these past years of working with others to support the Zen Center was a dream. As Zhuangzi said, soon I was awakened and there I was veritably myself again. In this place, an old woman with declining energy, looking at the new Zendo, its transformations and its needs, a joy, and holes and scuff marks too. Perhaps we can remind ourselves to enjoy the dream. Let it teach us. Let us teach us something we have not even imagined. So this Zhuangzi story seems to me to be the root ancestor of a koan that we're studying in the path class this time. Like the ancient Taoist literature, koans offer us insight and guidance if we can penetrate the questions they raise for us without trying to get the answer right away. Allow the koan to work on us over and over again, to really allow the koan to wake us up. So it has to stick with us, the koan, somehow to play around in our mind so its various elements uncover new and helpful insights. There's never a quick and easy answer to a koan, but rather an ongoing inquiry continues to reveal new aspects of our understanding. Today, I'm offering you the one that we're studying in the PATH class, which I have studied for over 30 years. This comes up, it comes up, it comes up. It comes up when I reread it, when I think about it, when I look in the mirror sometimes. It comes up when a student comes into Dokusan and is working on this koan. It's a fairly simple one. The question is, a monk by the name of Goso asks, Senjo and her soul are separated. What is the true one? What is the real me? What is the true me? The one that comes to the Zendo every morning? Or the one who turns over and shuts off the alarm? What is my place now in the Zendo? As I age, how can I best serve this community now? Who am I? The one who wants to serve? Or the one who just wants to sit? We could say, indeed, that Senjo and her soul are separated. The question is based, in this koan, is based on, you know, I do think that Zhuangzi's butterfly is a source of this. But beyond that, it's based on beautiful Chinese legend that tells the story of a little village by a river where two children grow up together, close friends playing together, and are in love by the time they're 9 or 10. And people would remark in the village about how those two are definitely going to get married. They are so lovely. They will make a fine family. But as it turned out, the girl's father found a more suitable husband for her, for his daughter, who was someone who was running the fruit and vegetable market in town. And so at a big party, he suddenly announces that his daughter is going to marry this other person, Hinryo. But of course, the girl and her close friend, Ochu, were devastated and angry. Ochu was so upset that he went down to the river and got into his boat and decided he would go downriver and never come back to the village. So upset by this betrayal of what they had always thought would be. As he was making his way along the shore down to the larger part of the river, he saw a figure on the shore, and it was Senjo. And she said, I can't stay here and be without you. She got into the boat and they went on downriver. They settled in a little village and had 3 children and were very happy for quite a few years. But often Senjo would recall her family, the village, her friends, her life before, and she missed them. And finally she said to Ochu, I have to go back. I have to go and see my father and my mother. We have to go back to the village. And so they did. They took a riverboat with the children and went up back upstream to the town. And Ochu said, well, I better go to warn people and they're going to be so shocked that we're here. I'll go first. And so he goes into that, to the village, and he goes to the father and he says, please forgive me for taking your daughter all these years. We are so sorry. We've come to ask for your blessing now. And the father says, I don't know what you're talking about. My daughter has been here the whole time. But she's been in bed and she has not spoken once in all these years. And Ochu said, no, that's not possible. My Sanjo is on the boat. He said, well, bring her here. And so Ochu goes and gets Sanjo from the boat, and she walks up to the house, and the Sanjo who has been in bed all these years suddenly stands up out of bed, and the two Sanjos come closer and closer, looking at one another, and become one. And so that's the ghost story of Sanjo and her soul. And the question is, Sanjo and her soul are separated. Which one is the true one? The one that lay in bed all those years, did not move. Or the one that went downstream and had children and lived a life with Ochu. Which is the true Sanjo? I'm looking at my notes because I just told that story from my memory. Koan's question, Sanjo and her soul are separated. Which is the true one? What is the real me? What is the real Inkyo? Am I this or am I that? Are you this or are you that? A helpful way to look at this koan or any koan is to not separate from it at all. Not actually using our critical functions to analyze it, but instead to let the koan come into our own state of not knowing. To just take the story and allow it to rest in our breath. Just allow it to be there. Which is a true Sanjo? We may discover that everything we encounter is our life. We can't choose. All this on this side is my life, and all this is not my life. That over there is also my life, even though I may not want it. It is also my life. And whether I'm talking about our personal health or the politics of the day, our aging, our relationships, social action, our art practice, whatever it is that presents itself to us as difficult or impossible, deplorable, or uncomfortable, that is not me. Those racist actions are not me. Those anti-abortion people are not me. Not a part of the life I want, not a part of the future I want, but you know, we reject parts of ourselves, of our lives. We get on the boat and we go downstream. We may abandon our dreams or our obligations. We may forget our true nature. Living as if in a dream. seeking a healing from separation. But healing is making whole. It is Senjo walking one, walking into Senjo two. It is our recognition that the shifting, marvelously shifting energy ball that we are encompasses everything. And when we connect to that reality, that we are connected to all lives, we realize that we can't hide. We can't hide from the dream of the idea of settled law, the dream of proper medical attention for women in need, the dream of a healthy planet, the well-being of the poor and those discriminated against, for the immigrants all over the world. That too is part of the healing we must do. Even if we feel despair or anger, we lie in our beds like Senjo for 5 years. Surely at some point we wake up and heal ourselves, become one again. And begin to act with responsibility to actually make a difference. It's no means an easy practice. We separate naturally. How do we come back from that moment of non-separation? How do we come back to a unified understanding of who we are in this world? Another Zen teacher wrote about this koan in a verse, and the line that stuck out for me was, "The moon on the wave, now scattered, now uniform." You must have seen that in the water, a reflection in the water. You see the moon's reflection and it's scattered, manifesting activity and individuation. It's like when we're running from one task to another to accomplish something. But if the water becomes still, what you see is the moon as one. And when we act from that place, we can really heal. That's a very different way of acting than trying to obliterate what we don't agree with. Whether we're talking about politics and injustice, or we're talking about issues inside ourselves. Dealing with our own needs and how we treat others. We, like Senjo, can accept ourselves wholly without abandoning our complex changing lives, our complex changing selves. In this way, we can realize the basic Zen idea that everything we encounter is our life. Let me offer a gatha for this. This very life, in a dream, in a story, moment to moment, it flows on, embracing, letting go. Each moment, right now.